B63. Number 3A.
We continue with our investigation into the Christ idea. We are still in the study aid on page 66. And we have not yet done the last column on the right-hand side, which has the title Synonyms for God. And we can see now the further step we are taking. Namely, we do now that what really the 6,000 and 7,000 year period is asking us to do, namely to translate everything into terms of the synonym of the capitalized terms. We have seen that the method that we use in Bible interpretation, but also in the textbook interpretation, is what? That we first take the text, be it of the Bible or be it of the textbook. Here we are working with the textbook. We take the text of the textbook. That was in the column here, Science and Health. And we took there the text as it is in the textbook and consider the text of the textbook in regard to one category, here in regard to the category Christ. Then we have seen that we can use the method of epitomizing by reducing a text to a smaller text, say to reduce it just to a few terms, where we have reduced it to just single ideas at point 1, 2, and 3 each time. And now we can ask ourselves now, what capitalized term do these ideas represent? To which capitalized terms do they hint? And so we come in the last column just to capitalized terms. So if I understand the tonality of the levels, per se, I can also deduce from that what must be the Christ in divine science, what must be the Christ in absolute Christian science, and the Christ in Christian science, expressed in synonymous terms. Here we have in divine science just truth as that which indicates the Christ in divine science. Now, what does that truth mean in this place value? Every time a synonymous term appears in our model of being, the chart, every time it appears, it has a different connotation or it has a different accentuation. In divine science, we always have the oneness of being. So if the Christ is considered in the oneness of being as the Christ truth, then truth means just one truth, the one infinite truth. So on the level of divine science, I begin to realize that the Christ is the very fact that there exists a truth, the truth itself, and that is the only truth, the one truth, the infinite truth, that there are not other truths, but the one truth God, therefore truth capitalized. And so it gives me the spiritual atmosphere which says, you know, if you have a problem, and if you think this problem is wrong, a negative problem, and if you think that problem can be solved, you admit to yourself that there must be a truth about that problem. Now, if there is a truth about that problem, we can start right on the level of divine science, which says, yes, God is truth itself, God is the one truth, and that truth is the truth about all the truths. And so one gets the first acknowledgement within ourselves that we say, if I go to truth, the one truth, the all truth, the truth that is God, then there I find the solution. So we go out from there where we see, and that truth, that one truth is a Christ, namely here it is self-affirming, self-establishing, self-claiming. It is the one truth that says, I'm going to be the truth about everything. The only truth and nothing but the truth is happening. And that's why we can rely on God as truth. If we would feel that the nature of being is not of the nature of truth, we would never really ask for a solution of a problem, because the solution of a problem is always that we know the truth. So can you see there is something very deep that we have accepted without really thinking about it too deeply, namely that we rely on the primal fact of the primeval fact that there is always a truth about an error. That there is always the nature of truth in being itself. And on Divine Science I see that there is only one truth. When I have seen that, then I say, yes, that's fine. I believe that God is truth and that in God there is no error, and that God is the one truth and the absolute truth and there is nothing but the truth. But does that help me? Does that show me now in a situation how truth is exemplified, how truth is expressing itself in an individual situation? You see, it's like saying we have an arithmetical problem, we have made a mistake in arithmetic, and we say, well, arithmetic deals with truth, with right calculation. Arithmetic itself only knows the right calculations. So in the right calculation lies the answer. But if I only say, well, here I have a mistake in arithmetic, but I know that arithmetic is true and right, I can't find the answer. Because just saying arithmetic is right doesn't really show me in that specific problem what is right in that individual situation. Is that clear? If I have 2 times 2, 5, it's not enough to say, well, that is a mistake, it doesn't really fit. But I know that arithmetic is right and that arithmetic is the truth. Does that help me? It doesn't really help me. If that one truth that is called arithmetic must translate itself to 2 and 2, to a specific truth which says 2 and 2 equal 4. That's absolute Christian Science. It is a translation of the one truth to the point of individual truth. Now, this is only a symbol in arithmetic, but in being we have a similar situation that we say, yes, God is truth and is the one and only truth, but that is not enough. I have to see that that one truth specifies itself, individualizes itself to adapt itself to the specific problem. And that is the moment I have a specific problem, I have the relationship between truth and between principle and idea, here between the one truth and the specific truth. And so I say, I see, all right, that's a question of absolute Christian science. And if I study the textbook and ask in the textbook now, what is the Christ in absolute Christian science? Well, we had there that it is the self-realization, that it is really the translation to ideas. The specific truth is seen in mind reading. I see that, but I ask myself, which law is bringing this about? Is there a law of translation in being that brings to me, to my recognition, the specific truth? Now, in studying the textbook, we find that Mrs. Eddy would bring that out through those three synonymous terms of truth, life, and love. That this whole question of translating the one truth to a specific truth is indicated through that triad of truth, life, and love. Why? What does that mean? What does that imply? Or, in other terms, what kind of consciousness should I entertain in order that this process is going on, in order that this law of translation is actually taking place and is coming to us as that which is the individual specific truth? That's the Christ. The Christ in absolute Christian science, which Ms. Zeddy calls truth, life, and love. What does truth, life, and love mean? So we have to ask ourselves now, what specific place value have these three synonymous terms when they appear at that very point as the Christ in absolute Christian science? Now, you have studied that, you know that from the level book, and therefore I can just refer to the level book where this is all brought out. Just to recapitulate it at this moment in a short way, perhaps we can turn to page 83 in the study 8. Page 83, and there, on the lower part of page 83, we have there the law of the Christ on the level of absolute Christian science. Can you see where I am? And which I tried to coin or to name the law of individualization, or also the law of specification. It's the same thing. They are just two different terms, meaning more or less the same. But you can see what it means. It is the law of individualization, meaning how can the generalities, be translated to the specifics, to the individual. That's always the great question where we have agreed first to the generality, namely on the level of divine science, that truth is the one truth. How is that generality, that in being there is one truth, how is that generality be translated to the specifics, namely to a true idea on for the situation. As you see there, absolute Christian science has to do with what? With the relationship of principle to ideas. That's indicated there with a P for principle, then an arrow, the direction, to what? To ideas. And this is absolute Christian Science. Now, the synonymous term that characterized this law of translating principle to point of idea through the Christ, Mrs. Eddy calls what is on the next line, truth, life, and love. And if we ask ourselves now, what is the specific place value of these three synonymous terms, we can see that truth goes always out from the level above, because it builds the bridge down to absolute Christian Science. It goes out from the one truth, from the ideal truth, which is life, truth, and love, the Word, and says that truth, now on the level of absolute Christian Science, is the truth of all truths, small t, plural. That's the specification, the generality of the one truth, specified, individualized as all truths. It can also be said, well, this is Christ consciousness, because consciousness always has to do with truth. It's the Christ truth or the Christ consciousness. So, what does that do in order to bring out the specific, the individualization? We know that life, now I come to the next synonymous term, we know that life is infinite individuality. Therefore, here, life indicates the individual truth, or you have beneath that the specific truth. It's like a scanner, I come back to it. And further down, we can say that life is the individualized Christ consciousness. So, only if we go as far as this, we can see that truth is the one truth, the one ideal that we take from divine science and see it now as the truth of all truths. And you have already absolute Christian Science indicated those truths are brought about through what? Through life, because life is that which individualizes. So if I have a good concept of the individuality of life, I can see that life's office in being is to take the one truth, translate the one truth into individual truth, into specific truth. But if Mrs. Eddy would only take truth and life, we would say, well, that is not yet correct. That does not do yet the trick. Because we would say, well, that's not really the solution, that the truth translates it to individual ideas of truth. I must know that specific truth which is adapted to a situation. I must see, like in arithmetic we have said, if we have a problem we can say, well, arithmetic is the answer. But if I only say arithmetic is the truth, I don't get the answer. I just state something very general. But if I see that one arithmetic contains within itself all the individual calculations, then I've already gone a step further and I've said, well, within that truth are the various individual truths contained. They are there, embraced in the one truth that is individualized as individual truth. My problem is 2 times 2. It is of no value just to have truth and life. Because that truth and life says, well, I include all truth, I also include 5 times 5, 25, but that is no answer. That's not adapted to the situation, to 2 multiplied by 2. Therefore, in order to see that the truth must be individualized, not just because it individualizes, but it must be individualized to a specific situation, to the 2 times 2, I must have the tone of love in it. Because love is always that infinite adaptability. Love is always that which meets all needs. All needs. We know love as that which is the comforter, which therefore brings the solution and brings the salvation. Therefore, love is that which has the plane of love and says, I know the place value of every problem, of every need within that great plane of love. So, love is necessary in order to show that love really brings forth that specific truth, which is the solution, the Savior, the salvation, that which meets the need of the specific situation. So that I know that God, when I need stones, will not give me bread. And if I need bread, He doesn't give me stones. Both ways it works. It is always, must be always adapted to the situation. If I need stone, I should get stones. If I need bread, I should get bread, in the biblical terminology. So that you have here really that law of specification or individualization, which says a consciousness that entertains the law of the Christ in absolute Christian Science is a consciousness of truth, life, and love. In that consciousness of truth, life, and love, I see what? I see, just as in arithmetic, I see that the one truth includes all truth. Therefore, that one truth includes within itself all the individual truths. But because it's love, I can see that that truth gives me that individual truth that is adapted for the need. So, if I understand the nature of love, I can see that love is that which knows what I need. Because we always say that divine love meets all human needs. Well, we say that without really realizing what the big statement is behind it. Namely, that it gives us that what we need and not that what we don't need. Yes. I said when we came to the term scanner, I said, well, I will come back to it. You know, in a computer, you have really this law working. This law working. You know, though we don't know what really happens within a computer anyway, I don't know, but we know the law that is working there. We know that in a computer there is enormous information stored there. The truth is stored there. The information is stored there. And we know that there are perhaps million information in a computer, but I want to know a specific answer. See? So what the computer does, and that is called then a scanner, it goes over the whole field and selects out of the whole information tank or information reservoir, selects that which is adapted to the problem I have to deal with. And that is called a scanner. It's that intelligence, so-called, which can select out of an infinitude of information that specific information, life, which is adapted to my question, love. So the computer as a scanner, that is really a good symbol of what we can see in being, that we say, well, in being, we see that, that God is the truth, the whole truth, all the truth. There's therefore all the information that is necessary. But the Christ takes out of that whole truth, that specific truth, small t, which meets my need. Because that truth is life, and that life is love. Also, we have always pointed out, when we take these laws in absolute Christian Science, here where we have these three synonymous terms, truth, life, love, that they form a triad. They don't form a sequence, like the word order from mind to love. They don't form a sequence which says truth leads to life and life leads to love. That's not so. It is a triad. It is three tones that we touch at the same moment, so to say. It are three spiritual facts that we touch, which just give that symphony. No, it's not quite a symphony, but that full tone of a triad, which says, look here, truth is individualized and adapted to a situation. So that if we think about it, and if we think, what does truth mean, what does life mean, what does love mean in this triad, and we begin to ponder it and say what it means, try to touch it spiritually and try to get the feel of that Christ, and you can see very easily that it is within itself a translation, because it translates the whole to the specific. It's a translation. The Christ is always showing a kind of translation. So that again we feel here is a fact expressed that constantly says to us, you don't need to fear anything. That you don't need to fear that you don't know the specific truth. Because that's what usually a student asks. He says, yes, I have heard that the teaching of Christian Science says that we must know the specific truth, but I don't know it. How can I know it? I can think about it and think and think and think about it and guess it and guess it, but I never get the certainty that I have found the specific truth. Well, because the method is wrong. The method is metaphysical. The method is therefore indicated in truth, life, and love, which says there is a tone in being, there is an activity in being, there is a law in being which says, I am the Christ to every situation. I, the Christ, reveal to you that specific truth which you need to know. Leave it to me. Leave it to the Christ.